Hello everyone, myself Professor Reena Pujara, having an industry experience of 6 years and 6 years into teaching. The Contract Labour Regulation and Abolition Act 1970 talks about restrictions on certain industry to hire or to employ a worker on contractual basis. And if there is any need, now say some industries, they require workers on a very large scale, wherein they will need a certain third party to intervene and help them by providing workers. So they will be definitely contractual workers. So here the contractual workers should also not be deprived of those benefits which are being given to the full-time employees or workers of an industry. So here the act tries to cover those industries wherein this Contract Labour Act is not at all required. So we are trying to abolish hiring of contract labourers or workers in certain kind of industries. And if there is a requirement, there should be some proper control mechanism wherein the employer is also, binded to provide certain benefits to their contract laborers as well. The objective of this act is to regulate the employment of contract labor in certain establishments and to provide for its abolition in certain circumstances and for matters connected therewith. So as we have discussed, the primary objective of this act is to safeguard the interest of contract laborers. So if there is a requirement of employing some contract laborers in an industry, their interest should be safeguarded through implementation and through integration of certain labor laws which are for the full-time employee or a worker. So some benefits also should be passed on to the contract labor. And the second objective of this act is to identify those trades and industries wherein these contract workers are not at all required and to impose certain rules and regulations which restricts on employment of such contract laborers. Applicability of this particular act will be on every establishment in which 20 or more workmen are employed. So here only those industries or trades which are hiring more than 20 employees will be under the purview of this act. But not only this 20 employee criteria is being given, but then further specifying or clarifying to this point, more than 20 workmen were employed on any day of the preceding 12 months as contract labor. That means here we are trying to say that say whenever we are checking the register of that particular establishment or employer, the 20 number should be anywhere between the preceding 12 months, because some organization or some employer, they act very smartly. What they will do is, on the very day of wherein the inspection will take place or wherein the registers will be checked, they will hire or have employees only 19. Whether the requirement or actual number of laborers which are hired are more, but on that day particular, or maybe whenever they are having an idea in that month particular, they will keep less than 20 employees or contract labor so that they can evade of this particular act to be imposed on them, and they don't have to follow this provisions. So to avoid this type of situations, the law says that in particular year, any day if you have hired 20 contract laborers, you have to follow the provisions of this act. So even say for few months or say for few weeks, they have hired more than 20 laborers in their organization or industry, they have to follow the provisions, rules and regulations which are laid down by this act. every contractor who employs or who employed 20 or more workmen on any day of the preceding 12 months. So when we say contractor, so contractor is a third party. Now generally when we say, or if it is a normal employment, two parties, there are only two parties, that is employer and employee, or say organization and worker. There are two parties and the terms and conditions are settled between them. But when we are talking about contract labor, so there may be a third party, that is contractor or agent, who will be responsible to provide these contract labors to the primary employer or the main employer. So here even the third party, that is contractor, is also binded to follow these type of rules. That is, if any time in the 12 months there are 20 or more contract labor, even he is binded to follow this provision. Registration certificate to be obtained by principal employer. So here when we are talking about principal employer, say for example, if I am a laborer, I am being hired by a contractor, but the contractor is hiring me to fulfill or to give services to some other organization. So the employer of that organization will be principal employer, and a contractor or the agent will be secondary employer, or a contractor or a third party. So every principal employer of an establishment to which this act applies, that means it will apply only when there are more than 20 employees, shall within such a period as appropriate government may by notification in the official gazette fix in this behalf with respect to establishment generally or with respect to any class of them make an application to registering officer in the prescribed manner for registration of the establishment. So now when we talk about what type of industries or who will be the employer coming under this act, so we have understood the minimum number of employees required for that. So once that is done, he needs to get an certification, or he needs to get registered for this certification. Then within how many months, or what will be the time frame for that? So here they have not specified any time limit. So the explanation says that depending on the industry and the trade, the time limit will be set. That means we take an example. Say organization A or employer A wants to get registered because he comes under this act because he has more than 20 employees working in the industry as a contract labor. So here he will be under this act and now he needs to get registered. So in that case, say for example, the industry has a time limit of say 3 months. So within this 3 months, he has to get registered. So this will be timely, set for different industries. Different time limits will be given. Within those time limits, they have to get themselves registered and obtain the certificate. If the application for registration is complete in all respects, the registering officer shall register the establishment. So now we understand from this point that there are several rules and regulations, or maybe there are some requirements for getting this registration done to obtain the certification. So if the authority who is authorized to register or to issue certificate is satisfied with all the information provided by the employer, then he may issue the certificate and issue the principal employer of the establishment a certificate of registration containing such particulars as may be prescribed in the act. Rule 18 and sub rule 4 of registration certificate to be renewed, amended in case of any change in number of workmen engaged after registration, change in the contractors. That means the registration rule also says that it is not only enough to get yourself registered and take the certification, but then the renewal of the certification is very important at the prescribed time intervals. Not only that, if there are any changes, now say while the time of registration the third party contractor was Mr. A, but now I am in a contract with say Mr. B, So I need to amend this. Amend means I need to change this information. I need to report regarding this information. If there is change in number of workmen, say when I have registered, I had certain number of workmen engaged in the industry. If that is being also changed, I need to notify this and get it amended. That means get it changed or altered. Rule 79, Abstract of the Contract Labor Regulation and Abolition Act 1970 and Central Rules to be displayed at locations. That means when we are talking about abstracts, abstracts is a gist of what this act says about. So say that needs to be drafted into pointers and through which the communication is being done, and that needs to be displayed at the locations. Now say when we talk about locations, they have not defined what is exactly location. So we here understand that should be displayed on the different notice boards within the industry. Wages to the contract labor to be paid in line with the minimum wages applicable. So here we are trying to protect the interest of contract labor so that the worker don't exploit the labor, because we do have certain rules and regulations in minimum payment of wages act, wherein there are different categories of workers, say unskilled, skilled, semi-skilled workers, for which the wage is being defined, that how much minimum wage rate is to be paid to those kind of workers. But then employer may very smartly evade from it by paying very less to the contract laborers, saying that they are not employer worker of their organization, they are on contractual basis. But no, according to this act 1970, which was implemented in 1970, after this you have to, or there is a compulsion on an employer to pay minimum wage rate equivalent to what is being given to the worker working in the organization. Rule 65 of this act, wages of contract labor to be disbursed on or before 7th day of the following month. That means there should be no delay in payment. So when we talk about payment of wages act, so payment of wages act talks similarly for the workers employed in the industry and time frame within which they need to be paid. So the time frame decided here is within 7 days of the following month. Now say for example, I have worked from 1st June to 30th June. So say by 7th July, a contract laborer should receive their wages. Their wages should be paid maximum by 7th of July. Rule 73, here we can see that wage disbursement to be witnessed by an authorized officer. So here we need to have an authorized officer who will be case wherein he will be looking after the wage disbursement, and he is a witness of this payment being paid. Because at times what is happening, what they do is they maintain fraud registers, they take signatures of the employee, they pay them very less, but then they take the signatures on the actual minimum wage rate amount. So here the rule says that there should be some witness who will be witnessing how much that means the minimum wage is being paid to the particular worker. And here we can see a pro forma of such a certified that the amount shown in column so and so has been paid to the workman concerned in my presence on so and so date at so and so time. Section 21(4), in case the contractor fails to make payment of the wages to his workmen, the principal employer to make the payment. Now here in this case, several times it is being observed that the third party contractor who is acting as a middleman between the primary employer and the worker, the contract labor. So generally this third party contractor becomes responsible for payment of wages, because now your principal employer gives the lump sum amount to the contractor, and now he takes care of all the contract labor whom he has given to that primary employer. But in that case, it is being observed many a times that the contractor, you know, never gives timely wages or don't pay to their labors, and he may disappear at a point of times. So in this case, the workers are at a weakened position. So to make or strengthen them, there is a rule imposed on the primary employer to pay off their wages in any such circumstances, or else the contractor would regularly pay. A principal employer is binded to pay to the contractor. Notwithstanding anything contained in this act, the appropriate government may, after consultation with the central board or, as the case may be, a state board, prohibit by notification in the official gazette employment of contract labor in any process, operation or other work in any establishment. So here we understand that appropriate government. So we have understood in our earlier modules who is appropriate government, depending on the nature of industry, whether they are operating on multi-state level, then central government, or else the state government is an appropriate authority or appropriate government, we can say. So here we need to designate some list of industries or processes or operations wherein there will be no hiring of contract labor. So here we impose a rule on employer who falls under those kind of industries, or say ABC processes or ABC operations taken place in the industry, will not hire any contract labor. Before issuing any notification under subsection 1 in relation to an establishment, the appropriate government shall have regard to the conditions of work and benefits provided to the contract labor in that establishment and other relevant factors. Here we are trying to protect or safeguard the interest of the contract labor, because in Factories Act 1948 we have some provisions which are to improve the working conditions of the worker in an establishment or industry. But then there are some basic requirements which any human being needs. So here in this act we are trying to safeguard the interest of contract labor with respect to safety, health and some welfare facilities. Whether the process, operation or other work is incidental to or necessary for industry, trade, business, manufacture or occupation that is carried on in the establishment. Whether it is of a perennial nature, that is to say it is of sufficient duration, having regard to the nature of industry, trade, business, manufacture or occupation carried on in that establishment. So in these points we are discussing about whether there is a genuine requirement of hiring a contract labor or not. We here need to decide that whether an establishment genuinely needs to hire contract labor. Now we take an example of L&T. L&T operates on a very large scale, wherein different categories of worker are being required at different site locations. So here it becomes really difficult for such a big company to hire every employee or worker under its payroll. So they may be having number of contractors, that is third party, several contractors who will be responsible for satisfying the workforce need of that company. So genuinely, whether the need is arising in that particular establishment, or just because the employer don't want to give away benefits to the worker, and so he is employing contract laborers in the organization. So this particular points will have a check on the requirement of contract labor, and if it is not at all required, then that particular establishment have to hire full-time workers and have to follow all those laws which are enacted to protect the workers or the laborers working in the industry. Whether it is done ordinarily through regular workmen in that establishment or an establishment similar thereto. Prohibition of employment of contract labor. Whether it is sufficient to employ considerable number of whole-time workmen. If a question arises whether any process or operation or other work is perennial nature, the decision of the appropriate government thereon shall be final. That means whatever the decision is being given by the appropriate government on hiring of contract labor will be allowed or not allowed will be binding on the employer and it will be the final decision. Rule 74 talks about a register of contractors in form 12 to be maintained by principal employer. That means your the principal employer has to maintain register of their contractors. So as we have discussed that there might be some big companies who have several contractors or maybe two contractors, three contractors or whatsoever the numbers are. So say we take an example of L&T has say for example 10 contractors working under the company. So they need to maintain these 10 registers each of each contractors. Rule 80 sub rule 3 registers to be maintained for 3 calendar years. That means I will have a register of say contractor A, B, C, D for this year and that particular register I have to maintain for next 3 years. Rule 18 sub rule 3 return to be submitted by the principal employer in form 6B regarding commencement, completion of work to be concerned authority within 15 days of commencement completion of work. Now when I talk about say L&T, they are project basis, they are site basis, they are depending on the type of say work to be done. So that may be temporary in nature. So whenever we are hiring contract labors, generally say for the projects which are temporary in nature, and when the project is completed, we do not require them anymore. So for this particular ending process, we need to, it needs to be submitted by the principal employer that now this particular amount of contract labor are not required for whatsoever reason. The project is completed, etc. And that needs to be submitted by the principal employer with a proper proof within 15 days of completion of work. Rule 82 sub rule 2 return in form 25 to reach the registering officer concerned not later than 15 February following the end of the year to which it relates. Now here we are talking about say all those reports registers which are being defined in this act needs to be submitted before the 15th of February every year. Section 12, contractor to obtain license from the licensing officer for more than 20 contract labors. So here particularly if there are several contractors which are working with the principal employer, so even a contractor has to obtain a license, then only he will be called a licensed contractor. And which all contractors will be followed under this rule who have more than 20 contractors. So say if a contractor is supplying only 10 to 12 contract labors to principal employer, he may not be liable to get the license. But once there is more than 20 contract labors under his register, then he has to get a license from the licensing officer. Rule 21 sub rule 2, principal employer shall give a certificate in form 5 to the contractor. Now here this principal employer gives a certificate or say according to the pro forma in form 5 to the contractor. Rule 76, contractor to issue employment card in form to each contract labor within 3 days of the employment. So here we are talking about the form 14 which will be given by contractor to issue employment card. That means the labor or the contract labor will be given a card which will be issued by the contractor that will be the proof of employment to the contract labor and that should be given within 3 days of the employment. Now say for example on a particular site, a contract labor has started working. So say he started working on 1st June. So within these 3 days, the contractor in a prescribed form, that is form 15, he will give this card to the contract labor, and this card will be proof of his employment. Rule 75 and 78, subrule 1, registers to be maintained by the contractor. So according to this act, rule 75, 78 and subrule talks about all those registers that need to be maintained by the contractor. Now there will be different type of registers. Now say for example, one register to record the attendance of the contract laborers, a number of days they have worked, in time and out time. Okay, what type of work is being done today? Now say when we talk about unskilled workers working in construction industry, say especially. So there might be, you know, some workers working on different type of work. So they need to maintain these registers to record the in time, out time, type of work, number of hours worked by the contract labor, number of days worked by the contract labor. Okay, and then a payment of wages, whenever wages are being paid, such type of registers to be maintained. What are the rules, regulations regarding these registers? All are maintained in Rule 75 and 78. What type of registers to be maintained are also specified. Further, contractor to issue wage slip in form, here we are talking about a wage slip, that is generally we get salary slips, right? So here we are talking about say wage slip which need to be given to the contract labor. So here generally contractor will issue this wage slip. As we have discussed earlier, it becomes primary responsibility of contractor to look into such matters which are concerned with wages. Only when the contractor fails, then only it will be intervened, or it will be a responsibility of the primary employer. 1 day prior to disbursement of wages, and this needs to be given to the contract labor 1 day prior and into a prescribed form. Rule 71, subrule 1, subsection C, signature of workmen to be obtained in the register for the entries related to them. So whenever such wages are being paid, after the payment of wages, signatures, or generally if they are not literate, thumb impressions of such employees, contract laborers, need to be taken on the register. Rule 25, subrule 2, return to be submitted by the contractor in form 6A within 15 days of commencement or completion of each contract work. Now when we talk about contract work, here the number of days or hours are not being specified. It depends on the type of work. Now say for example, construction of a wall. So here that is a type of work being given to a contractor. So such notifications need to be submitted by the contractor in form 6A within 15 days. So once they have commenced the work, within 15 days that need to be submitted, and once they have completed the work, after the completion, within 15 days this needs to be submitted. Rule 82, subrule 1, half yearly returns to be filed.